certainly, again, I expressly ask an interest in your prayers as I stand before you here for a little while this afternoon and try to do my best to proclaim the power and glory of the Almighty God that we owe everything to and that we serve. And he's called us out of nature's darkness into his marvelous light, and he's done so many things for us, things we don't always recognize exactly all the things he's done for us sometimes until we stop and take stock and consider ourselves. And we have so much to be thankful for here today at this very moment. We stand in the ever-present need of the Almighty Lord. We need him for everything that we do. We stand in need of his grace at all times for any movement that we have in our life. And that's for every movement. That's natural movement. That's spiritual movement. Everything that we do in our life has been a work of grace of God. And I'm thankful for that grace because I know without it, I'm lost. That if it was up to me to do anything, that's not who I am by nature. That's not how I was born. I was born into sin. I'm a product of sin. We're all products of sin. That's the fleshly body in which we live. And sin is ultimately our ultimate. Sin is our ultimate affliction. We have various types of afflictions that we encounter in our life, but the reason we have afflictions is don't live in a state of perfection. It's because of sin. But we have a Savior today. We have a Savior in Christ Jesus who came to this earth and made himself flesh, willingly took on a body of flesh, and became the propitiation for our sins. That's a big word for mercy seat. That means he took our place. It means he put himself in our room instead, and he paid a sin debt that we could never pay, that we couldn't pay from the time it started. We didn't have the ability to do that. Not only did we not have the ability, we didn't even if we had the ability, we didn't have the want to. We didn't have the desire to. Man by his nature is enmity against God, meaning he doesn't want anything to do with God. He doesn't have a love for God. He doesn't have a care for God. And he certainly doesn't care anything about God's people. But I will tell you that where we are today, by the grace of God, as he's blessed us with that spirit that comes from up above, and that's what we have here. That's why we do what we do this afternoon, right? At 2:30, at whatever time it is here this afternoon in Martinsburg for this little small group of individuals, to the natural world, this doesn't look like a whole lot. Doesn't look like much. Matter of fact, it looks the opposite of much. It looks like, why would you do that? You know why we would do that? Because God is to be praised and glorified. And when these church doors are open, we should be here praising and glorifying. And where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst. And that's what we have been given. That's what's been put here for us to have. And when I come in these doors in the afternoon, this is where I need to be. Why is it? Because this is where I need to be. Because it's the only place where I'm going to find peace and rest and joy in the trueness of what this life brings. And what this life brings outside of the Lord Christ Jesus and God Almighty is nothing but misery. There's nothing outside of Christ that is good for us, that is healthy for us, that is right for us. And all we got to do is go eat a little bit. All we got to do is go partake a little bit. If we're not careful, we'll forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is said in Hebrews, as is the manner of others. We'll forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And when we get away from the house of God and the word of God and the things of God, we are susceptible, little children. We are wide open. We don't have our armor on. Maybe that's what I want to talk about this afternoon. I feel I have a lot of scriptures on my head, and I'm praying that the Lord just put something on me and gives me a place to go. But if he doesn't, I want to tell you that this whole world is not a friend to the little child of God. This is where we need to be this afternoon. It's right here at his feet. before His throne, praising His name. Why is that, brethren? Let's go to the book of Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians. And I'm going to go to chapter 6. And I'm going to go to verse 10. And I'm going to start there. And it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching there unto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Finally, my brethren, verse 10 here, be strong. There's only one way we can be strong. We know that in our flesh is no good thing. Our flesh is not strong. Our flesh is weak. We have our life here is but a vapor, right? By the time we think we're strong, by the time we think we're something, we're already turning and going downhill, right, Brother Terry? By the time we feel like, don't you remember being in your 20s? I remember my 20s. I felt like I could conquer the world. I could jump real high. I could dunk a basketball. I could do all these things. And I thought, boy, I hear old folks talk. I don't know what that's like. I'm enjoying this life. You think you're strong in yourself. And you very well may be naturally, physically fit at that point. But how long did it last? Did it sustain itself? Because now I used to be able to dunk a ball, but now if I think about running, my back hurts. Now if I twist the wrong way, putting something, a piece of paper on a shelf, I'll throw myself out for 3 days. That's physically speaking. Let's talk about another kind of strength. Strength isn't just physical. Strength isn't just your natural ability to move. Strength is your, what's strength? Strength when something bad happens. Something goes wrong. You get some bad news. Right? I don't have strength to handle that. Things come to me, it overwhelms me. Tears roll out my face because I worry. And I don't know what to do. But the Bible tells me to be strong in myself. Absolutely not. It says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of yourself? No, of His might. Of His might. Brethren, not us. This isn't about us. We have to realize this is not us. This, if this is us, we are lost. We are gone. We are nothing. We don't have it. We've never had it. It was never ours to have. As a matter of fact, from the time we were born into sin. We wanted nothing to do with God. The world still wants nothing to do with God. And the only reason we have a desire to have anything to do with God is because God put that work in us first. God came to us, gave us grace, made us alive, gave us grace to hear a call, and gave us faith to hear the call and know where it came from. You didn't have that. You didn't have faith before. You didn't have faith to get alive. You didn't have faith. Faith didn't cause you to go get saved. You had faith because you were already saved. When Christ said it is finished, because of the foreknowledge that God had of us before the foreknowledge. That means he looked down through time, saw us before the world began, and knew we were nothing and loved us anyway. And that is a beautiful thing as we stand here today, not in our own strength. Because we don't have any strength. We don't have any might. That's why we have to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And he hadn't left us down here with nothing. He hadn't left us out here to be. It says, finally, put on. Now, verse 11, put on. That's an act. That's something you have to do. We have to do. We make a choice of what we put on. Because we've been made a new creature. New creatures have old clothes. We don't want to wear those old grave clothes that we wore when we were under bondage, when we were under that law of sin, when we were living in sin, and we walked in sin, and we did those sinful things that aren't according to the word of God, and we may have done them in ignorance, we may have done them presumptuously. But once we see, once he's worked that work of grace in our hearts and he's given us a knowledge of him and he has shown us where he's at, he is telling us, brethren, that we need to put on his armor. Because there are other things that we still, because we contend with this old fleshly nature, and it is a contention. Paul said it's a warring in his members. He says that in Romans 8 or Romans 7. He says he has a warring in his members at the end of Romans 7. But because of these things, we have to walk in the Spirit. How do you do that? Well, you put on the whole armor of God. How do I do that? It says, why do we put it on first? Let's talk about that. So we, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We're at a war here. We're at war in this world today. There's a war going. There's an attack on God's little children by the devil himself today in this world in which we live, where we're upside down. This our nation is upside down. We don't know the difference between right and wrong when we cut our TVs on. We've lost that. We've lost our way. Why? Because we've walked in the counsel of the ungodly. Who's running? Who's leading the ungodly? The devil. And we're supposed to resist the devil. We're supposed to flee from the devil. How do we resist the devil? Through our own selves? Absolutely not. We can't resist the devil on our own. We have the armor of God that God has given us. And that's what he's telling us about here. And he's saying why. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. This isn't a man against man thing. This is an evil power that exists and is running to and fro in this world, seeking whom he may devour. And it says, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That means exactly what it says. There indeed is spiritual wickedness in high places. Meaning there are things that happen above and over our heads, and things that go on above that get moved around, and things get shifted up. Don't think the bad things just happen in this world just by happenstance. The devil is real. God is real. And there is a spiritual warfare that is taking place day by day. Not in a way where I'm worried about whether we're going to heaven or hell or not. God's already won that war. God's already defeated Satan. He defeated Satan when he went to the cross and he died on the cross and endured an eternity of hell and was forsaken by the Father, who became sin for us. But then he didn't stay on the cross. He saved us when he said it is finished. And when he resurrected himself, he was the firstborn among many brethren. And he gave us the promise, that promise of eternal life. And we have the earnest of our inheritance right now today as we have inside this church. But as we sojourn in this world, the devil's loose for a little season. He's running to and fro seeking whom he may devour. And we are separated from that world out there. But yet we have to contend with that world on a daily basis. And if we're not careful with what we consume, if we're not careful with what we partake of, if we're not careful with the counsel that we have or that we heed, because all in Psalm, go to Psalm 1 with me here real quick. I want to talk about that. go to Psalm 1. In the first Psalm, it says, come on, stay with me now. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. We can walk in the counsel of the ungodly sometimes when we just listen to what we say to ourselves. Because when we try to do our own will, when we try to do our own way, which we will, because that's who we are by nature, and we get distracted, we're like little sheep. We're like little lost sheep. Right? A sheep is not the smartest animal you have ever seen in your life. It's just not. It's kind, generally. It's soft. It can't defend itself. It's not a very strong animal. It's not an animal you would walk into a field and necessarily be afraid of. It's like a bull, right? We knew when the bull was in the field, but I didn't mind if there was a sheep in the field. Right? We're just little sheep. We need protection because that's where we are in this world. We need protection. How do we get that protection? That's what he's telling us here in Ephesians, is we're to put on our armor. We're to put on our protective, I call it personal. A lot of the jobs tell you about personal protective equipment, PPE, right? I'm going to tell you, this is God's PPE. This is the armor of God, which is better than any steel-toed boot or when I was in the military, my PPE was a machine gun. But it's even better than that, right? It's even more protective than that. Why? Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. There's a lot of things going on in this world that will lead us astray, that may even look like they're okay. It may even look like, that's all right. I'm going to tell you, be careful. Be careful if we start to say something's all right and there's not a thus saith the Lord for it. It's what the Word of God says. It's not what man says is okay. It's not what man says is, that's all right. Go ahead and allow that because we don't want to be mean to people. That's not what it's saying. We're to follow the Word of the Lord. And that's how we're supposed to walk. Not in the counsel of the ungodly. But as we go back here to Ephesians, it says, wherefore, verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. That's all of it. That means every piece, every bit of that he gives us, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. When's the evil day? Right now. This very moment. Anytime after the Lord had come to this earth and ascended back up into heaven, we are in the last days, brethren. This is the last times right now. I don't know when the end of time comes. No man knoweth that day. It'll come as a thief in the night, but we're not supposed to fear it. We're supposed to be looking for it. We should be looking up, waiting to come. I'm waiting for him to come get me. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of here. This has worn me out and worn me down. But I love it when I'm in here. I love it when I'm in the house of God and I'm amongst God's people and I can tell people about our God. But it says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand. How do we stand? We don't stand on our own. We don't stand. We have to stand leaning on God. We have to stand leaning on that rock. Because it says he'll pull us up and put us on a rock. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Where's the truth? The truth is in God's Word. That's the only place the truth is found. There's a lot of places out here running around selling truth that ain't truth. And you'll know it's truth by the way it tastes. Especially if you've heard it before. This is where the truth is. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. That's that front. Whose righteousness? Do we have any righteousness? Do we have any by ourselves? Absolutely not. But we have an all-powerful God who imputed his righteousness unto us. He cleansed us from our sins. From all of our iniquity. He cleansed us never to be remembered anymore. So when God sees us, he doesn't see us as this little as the sinners that we have been and are, He sees us as His perfected work. And it's through His righteousness and His righteousness alone that we take and we put on ourselves and our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. There is a certain labor involved in the law, and the law being, so what I mean by that, if somebody tells you you have to do something in order to earn your eternal salvation, or if there's a gospel that is preached that says you have to know beyond the shadow of a doubt, or you don't have enough faith, or if you have doubt, that's a sign of you not being one of His children. I grew up an Old Baptist. I don't know a lot about those doctrines that are out there, but I know that they are out there. And I will tell you that there is no peace in that. That's not God's gospel. God came to save sinners. And He came to save sick people. He made dead people alive and showed them they were sick. If we're out here trying to get everything right and make sure that we're doing everything the right way and checking all of our dotting all of our I's and crossing all of our T's and talking about all of the things that we've done right in order to be able to get ourselves into heaven, then we have certainly robbed God of all of the glory that He so rightly deserves. Because Hebrews chapter 10 says, Hebrews 10:1 says, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things." So that law having a shadow, that means that law was given to us from, it was given unto Moses, and Moses was to, there was a sacrifice that had to be, sacrifices that had to be made. There were sacrifices for atonement. There was a blood sacrifice. There had to be lambs and bulls. There was a whole rotation of priests on a 24-hour clock that was sacrificing for the sins of the nation. And it says, "For the law having a shadow of good things to come," meaning there's going to be there was a sacrifice sent for us. There was a sacrifice prepared for us. And this was showing us that, but it was just a shadow. That means it was a shadow. What is a shadow without a body? It doesn't exist, does it? A shadow is nothing without the substance. A shadow is nothing but a reflection. "For the law having a shadow of good things to come," that's Jesus Christ, "but not the very image of the things," that means it wasn't Him, "can never," it doesn't say maybe, it doesn't say sometimes, it doesn't say if you do this or walk this way, it says it never. "With those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the corners thereunto perfect." The sacrifice that needed to be made, that had to be made for our redemption, had to be perfect, had to be without spot, had to be without blemish. It had to be a blood atonement. There was a blood sacrifice required that wasn't of bulls and goats. Because it says here, first of all, it says in verse 6, "And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure." And He tells them that in Isaiah. He was tired of it. Because it wasn't enough. And it would never be enough. And He knew it. So He established a new covenant. And that's what He tells us about here when He says in verse 20, as we go back up to verse 19, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us." That new and living way is He came and took care of that sacrifice. He was the sacrifice for us. It says verse 10, I'm jumping around, but chapter 10, verse 10 of Hebrews says, "Then..." Back up one to verse 9. "Then said He, Lo, I come to do Thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that He may establish the second." That second covenant is the one that was established with between God the Father and God the Son that redeemed us from our sins, that paid the price, that He loved us with an unconditional love and paid a sin debt that we could never pay. And it says, by the which will we are sanctified, that means saved, through the what? Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. That means that's it. It was perfect. It was done. It's completed. It was a completed work. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. There's not a thing a man's going to be able to do to give you eternal salvation. If there's a feeling in your heart that you feel the need of salvation, that you feel the need to be saved, that you feel like, I don't know how I'm going to make it in this life or the next without some help, that's an evidence that you have already been touched, that God has already worked on you, because you don't love God unless God has first loved you. And He does that for every one of His elect family of God. Because this is not for the whole world. This is not for everybody. Because it says here, it says in verse 11, and every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. These priests standing up, sacrificing round the clock. It never stopped. They had to put the priests on a rotation. The priests of this house came and they were all the house of Levi, the sons of Aaron, not all of them, but they were of the tribe of Levi, and those priests would work in a rotation for 24 hours a day. There was a lamb sacrifice in the morning and a lamb sacrifice in the evening, and it didn't stop. It went on and on and on and on and on and on. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. He sat down. Why did he sit? Because the work was done. And he went from redeemer to king. And he became the king and is the king and is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's not waiting on his rule today. This scripture says, from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. His enemies are already his footstool. He's already won the battle. The battle has already been won. Right now, we're waiting for him to come take us home. And that's what we're waiting on. And that's when the expecting time comes, when he takes these old sinful bodies of flesh and he transforms them into something else. What I mean by that, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and let's see what the Apostle Paul has to say over there about how the end is going to be and when Christ comes back and what's going to happen to these old bodies here. Boy, if I could slow down and find some scripture, it would be nice. 1 Corinthians 15. Let's go at 45. Actually, no, let's go over here. Let's go to 52. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, not like they are right now, wasting away to nothing. And I'll tell you this too, brethren, it don't matter where they are. Whether they're in the grave, whether they're in the ocean, whether they've been cremated, spread out to the four winds. When God calls them, they're coming back together and they're going home. And they're going home to glory. So, and that's that incorruption. For this, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And that's the expecting part. Is there's no more death. And I would tell you, in this life that we have through Christ, the spiritual life that we have through Christ, we have the gift of eternal life right now, this very moment. We're not waiting. There's no waiting period. To be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. So when I close my eyes in this world, I'm going to open my eyes in another one. Isn't that a peace and joy in that? Isn't there a rest in that? To know that when I close my eyes here, I'm going to wake up in the light. I'm going to wake up and they're going to be singing songs. It's going to be the best waking up I ever had. It's going to be the best thing I've ever known. And I don't have to fear today. I don't have to fear death at this moment. I don't have to fear what man may do to me. I don't have to fear what's out here in this world. Why? Because I am strong in the Lord and His might. And He's given me this armor. He's given it to me. I didn't earn it. I didn't sign up for it. I didn't put in an order. He gave it to me to live. And not only to live, but to have life and to have life more abundantly. There is nothing of value in this world for any little child of God. Our only hope in this life is through the Lord Christ Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, it's a great hope. It's better than anything else they're selling out here. It's better than anything. You don't have to have a dime in your pocket. It's free. And they'll never run out. Ain't that something? Anything so good that's free and never runs out here in the world, you wouldn't believe it. But I'm telling you right here in the Word of God, we got it. Page after page, line after line, precept after precept, God's been good to us. And I don't mean to shout and jump up and down and get excited, but I am. Because I know what He's done for me. I know what He's done. I know the sinner I am. I feel that I'm the least among you. I have no reason to be standing up here saying anything to anybody about anything. Because I ain't nothing. But I'm everything through Christ who strengthens me. And you are too. We have so much to be thankful for today. We've been given so many blessings in this life. Let us walk in the light that we've been shown. Let us make an effort to put on the armor of God, and not the chain of pride. Because if we have the armor, if we have the ability to put on the armor of God, we also have the ability to put on other things. And we'll be suffered to do so from time to time, just to let us know we're in the wrong spot. There's two ways in this thing, in this whole thing of life. There's two ways. There's God's way and there's the wrong way. And there ain't no question about it. What does God say? And then there's what God does. We're supposed to do what God says. I didn't mean to come up here all the way and ride all the way up here and yell at y'all real loud, but I hope you know I love you very much. And I do love you. And I care about you. I'm thankful for you. And I appreciate you. Thank you for letting me come speak to you. And you have a mind to pray, remember me. God bless you.